Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Dozens of warplanes attacked more than 150 targets in Lebanon this morning, the Israeli military said, part of an aerial offensive that is expected to continue in the coming hours. And this comes as residents of Beirut and a number of other areas in Lebanon have received text messages from the Israeli military warning them to evacuate, according to Lebanon's state-run news agency. It's not yet clear how widespread these messages were. Hezbollah and Israel have exchanged heavy fire over the weekend as the Lebanese militant groups sent rockets deep into the northern Israeli territory. Well, for more on this, we're joined from Beirut by journalist Hannah McCarthy and also Dr. Patrick Bury, who's a defence and security expert at the University of Bath. Hannah, first to you there in Beirut. We know the missile attacks have been described as intense. At this stage, though, do we know how much damage has been caused in those attacks?
Sure. Well, there's videos circulating online of pretty heavy targeting in southern Lebanon. We know there's been some casualties already, but again, this has been happening this morning since 7 a.m., so I don't think we have an accurate count of the scale of the damage yet, but it's certainly extremely intense. Locals are getting warning messages to leave their homes, and this is happening as far away as Beirut in neighborhoods that are very far from the fighting.
So what exactly have they been told to do in those messages?
Sure. So, I mean, the minister, for example, the Lebanese ministry, a minister of information, said that he received a message saying that his building could be targeted and that his staff should leave. He put out a statement saying this is psychological warfare and that they're not going to pay attention to these messages. But they are basically saying if you're near Hezbollah targets, you will be deemed a target. So it's quite a frightening message for people to get. But there is a sense that, particularly in Beirut, that this is a form of psychological warfare. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's jets flying over the skies, and there was a strike north of Beirut for the first time in the war near Jebel, which I think is very worrying for a lot of people in the north who felt they were kind of out of the war so far.
And how has this impacted people, or how are people in Beirut responding to this? Is daily life continuing today?
So I've noticed one of the main money transfers platforms is not working at the moment, which I think is a sign that people are preparing maybe to leave, or they want to have extra money stored. You know, there's people going around giving lists of what you should have in a grab bag. So I think this has definitely become more tense. People are making kind of plans for the worst at the moment. I don't think there's yet panic necessarily, but people are certainly taking extra precautions. People are very alert. There's loud bangs. People are checking in. Did you hear that? What do you think it is? There's drones overhead. So it's definitely a tense atmosphere at the moment.
Okay, Hannah, stay with us. I want to bring in Dr. Patrick Bury here. I'm just reading, Patrick, that these voice memos are being sent to people's phones, which say if you're in a village that is being used by Hezbollah, leave it immediately for your own safety. How would you describe this escalation in tensions now between Israel and Hezbollah? How concerning is it?
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, I think it has been escalating fairly rapidly in the last week or so. We saw the Israelis say that they were shifting their focus from Gaza, and then they started to shift their forces. And then we saw increasing airstrikes essentially against Hezbollah. So it is escalating. Hezbollah are starting to fire longer range rockets into Israel as well. And I think the Israelis have probably concluded a few things in their Gaza fighting. And that is that, one, the likelihood of a ceasefire, which they are happy with, is small. That actually, although there's a lot of international pressure on them to de-escalate, but essentially no one's pulled the rug out from under them yet. Mm-hmm. In terms of military support or aid. So they've kind of got, although that people are, you know, making sure that the Israelis are aware they're not happy about what they're doing, no one has really pulled the plug on their military operations yet. And finally, I think that, you know, because of the internal political dynamics in Israel, and also the fact that about 60,000 residents have had to move out of the north of Israel because of these attacks, they've probably calculated, taking all this together, they may as well try and secure that border area now, and make it a more secure zone than it is, and push Hezbollah back. And I think that's the way their military op is probably planned.
Yeah, and that return of displaced citizens is one of Israel's cited aims, along with degrading Hezbollah's ability to fire rockets over the border and so on. But Israel this morning asked whether a ground invasion was likely, said that they're currently focusing on their aerial campaign only. But do you think a ground invasion is likely?
I think it would depend on how successful this air bombardment is. If you think that Hezbollah have a series of rocket systems which they can, of obviously different sizes, but most of which they can hide and move quite well, I think there'll be an assessment whether how much they've degraded those. It's not only about the rocket threat, though. The Hezbollah have a force called the Radwan forces, which are kind of like a light infantry, and they've been used to do raids as well. So they'll have that element too. But the way the Israelis are looking at it, they're on a roll at the moment. You know, if you look at what they've done in terms of the counterintelligence piece against Hezbollah and the Iranians in the last couple of months. They've really undermined both forces quite considerably. So they'll be feeling that they're in a position of strength.
And Hannah, back to you in Beirut. I mean, that must be the great fear where you are, that a ground invasion is next.
I think most people think the chance of a ground invasion are quite low just because of the amount of manpower it would require. I think the resources in Israel are quite stretched, and there was already kind of issues with getting with numbers injured from Gaza. When I was in Israel over the summer, I mean, you walked around Tel Aviv, huge numbers with bandaged arms. So I think there are low expectations that you would see a ground invasion like one of the ones we've seen before. But I think certainly there's concerns that Israel are using a kind of depopulation tactic in southern Lebanon, where they are intensely bombarding a kind of ribbon area around the border to make it, effectively what they call a security barrier, but what basically means that local residents who have farms there, who have homes there, who have their villages there, cannot live there. And it's basically creating a barrier there. Obviously, Hezbollah is not supposed to be in that area under the agreement that they signed, the UN resolution, where there's not supposed to be any militant groups there. They obviously are still there. And Israel is obviously trying to push them further away to make an environment where the Israelis from northern Israel feel more comfortable to go back to their homes. At the same time, for the Lebanese from South Lebanon, there's very much a war underway. I mean, we keep talking about, falling short of a full-scale war, but for them, it very much is a war right now.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick, you mentioned that, Israel is very much on the front foot here. Iran and Hezbollah then on the back foot, and they've been very much exposed here by the infiltration by Israel with those events last week on Tuesday and Wednesday. And now we see a continuation of that. Do you think that they have the levers to pull to respond in any meaningful way to Israel?
Yeah, well, I think the Hezbollah rocket arsenal, if it's not, if it's not majorly compromised, remains a big threat to Israel, of course. As I mentioned, some of their raiding forces, depending on the force lay down of the Israelis on the border. Look, Iran has basically lost deterrence against Israel. That's what it's not only the attacks of last week, which were, quite astonishing, but it was also the very significant after Iran bombarded Israel with rockets, if you remember. Israel responded with just one missile, which destroyed the most sophisticated air defense system that Iran have. That's a shot across the bows, not only to the Iranians, but it also is across the region. It shows you we can do what we want when we want. Then they kill the Hamas leader in Tehran. That's got a major question of how do they get the information, completely compromised his movements. And now you've got the recent two ops. So Iran is what they want to do through Hezbollah, if they can, is restore deterrence so that they've got enough essential ability to strike Israel to stop them continuing their attack. I think what Hannah says, actually, if you combine these airstrikes with this the messaging to get people out, that makes a lot of sense. That would tie into a light cost approach for Israel, but also trying to achieve the same effect without going in on the ground. So that's something to look out for, I think.
Thank you both, Dr. Patrick Bury and Hannah McCarthy. Now, coming up next, the children who need to go to a special school in Dublin but have no place on the bus.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.